Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20. Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's CYMBIOTIKA.com, code START.
Welcome one and all to Pod Maverick. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined as always by Josh Bowe. It's about 8:45 on Monday, October 20th. We are a mere one day away from the NBA season, 2 days away from the Dallas Mavericks season starting. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. I can't believe it's here, but I'm glad it's here because we needed more stuff to talk about.
Well, I mean, you sort of inspired me. So I'm doing this offsides gig on the side. All this shit is on the side. I don't know why I say that. As an additional little venture, and I did like 90 seconds to a couple of minutes on why the preseason is actually excellent. And I've just sort of been thinking about that, and I don't really remember a time since you and I have been doing this, and really since I've been at the site, that I ever walked away from a preseason saying, okay, let's see where we go from here. And I've got to give credit where it's due to the Mavericks, in that they use their preseason to look at things within their roster that are going to matter come Wednesday and beyond. And that sort of got me fired up for the season. You know, it's like, I'm so used to NFL and elements of the NBA where it's just like preseason becomes a like dress rehearsal where you really, all you do is pray nobody gets hurt, which is part of it, but it was a nice preseason. And now I'm ready for basketball, I think.
Yeah. I mean, everyone played every game. Mm-hmm. I think they sat any top end guys unless D'Angelo they were Russell. Actually hurt.
That was yeah. That. And I, you know, we'll talk. We talked about him in our last player preview pod, but his role is interesting. Like, it seems like he's going to be coming off the bench to start the year.
Yeah.
I find like, that's just interesting.
Yeah, and he did stuff,
you know, I've been fielding some kind of grumpy DMs from fans that are worried about the season. And one of the things I'm stressing, and like, keep in mind, I am the resident grump. Like, I'm the one that the grumps you all. And I just want to emphasize that like, weird for now is good. And if the Mavericks end up 10 games under 500, 30 games into the season, that's a different story. But for right now, I think it's just embrace the weird a little bit. You know, it was so annoying that one preseason or that one season when we started off with two straight Dorian Finney-Smith post-ups after one the entire previous year. Like, that was kid being annoying. It just was. He was wrong, and he quickly curtailed away from his "we're not going to shoot as many threes" thing, because that's all the Mavericks did that season was shoot threes. We don't know what to expect from this season, and that is fun. So tonight, and then we're also going to record tomorrow night, I think we're going to finish our player previews within guys within the rotation. So we're not going to hit on some guys. You know, I think Brandon Williams is going to get left out in the cold here, but that's okay because the Mavericks have like 10, 11 guys they're going to play. We're going to focus on the nine that we're pretty sure is going to be off the top. We've already covered four. So let's sort of start with who I think is just a really interesting part of the season in Max Christie. I just don't know what to expect to him. What do you have in tap in your head for Max Christie this season?
I think he just needs to be a solid, productive 15 or so minute a night bench player. And I think the problem, there's not a problem, but the issue, I guess, if there's any angst or worry about Max Christie, I think it's because if you've listened to the podcast this preseason, I've echoed this point a couple times, like when he got traded here, you know, he played what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight, his first seven games after getting traded to Dallas, he had at least 15 points or more. That is not him. That's not trying to be disrespectful to him, but he is not a 18 points per game guy at this stage of his career. He's just not. And I think that might have created some inflated expectations on how good Christie could be. And to be honest, like, again, he's a second round pick on a pretty good value contract. If he's giving you any type of productive double digit minutes off your bench, it's a win, because most second round picks don't even make it, you know, past their first rookie season. You know, they're already going in the G League, or they're out of the league, or they get cut, you know, what have you. So I think, like, after that stretch where he was totally gassed because he blew through his career high in minutes last season after he got traded to Dallas, and then some of his preseason has been not bad, but he's not scoring 18 points a game like he was in those first couple of games. And I think some fans are kind of like, well, what's going on here? And I don't think anything's going on. I think he's just settling into the player that he really is, and that's not a bad thing. And he just if he could just be productive, and productive within his means, not productive like, you know, being a like third leading scorer on the team, which is right, like he was when he got traded here for a while, then he'll be fine. So I'm more optimistic on him than I feel like maybe consensus. I don't know if consensus, it's mostly, you know, people that are worried online. I think most media people kind of understand, you know, where he fits into this team, but he's just a solid young player off the bench. That's all he really needs to be.
The question for Max Christie would be more interesting if the Mavericks were a worse and frankly less deep team. Right now, in my estimation, he's a guy who is going to play. I mean, he finished with 30 minutes per game for last season's Mavs. He's not going to get more than 15. Like, he's just not going to play that much. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be something interesting to where he develops into a more reliable scorer. But he's not good enough off the dribble. He's not a good enough shooter. And he doesn't bring anything defensively that they're lacking. That's not to say he won't get his chances, but I have decided to lower my personal expectations for the, he's going to be 23 before the end of the year. Maybe I'm doing the math wrong. He was a second round pick. Second round picks becoming fringe to rotation players is a outstanding outcome. It just
is.
Right. They just don't turn out that much. I like him.
Well, he'll have some big games. Mm-hmm. He'll have some games when they sit some veterans on the second night of a back to back and they need his young legs, and maybe he starts for Clay on a 3-4 nights or a second night of a back to back on the road, and he does score 18, yep, 20 points against Washington, which you need. Like, he's a viable player. He speaks to their depth that they don't necessarily, you know, their season isn't riding, living or dying on how big of a jump he takes. Because if he doesn't take that big a jump, you know, I know they need guards, but he's more, I would say he leans more towards forward than guard, you know, with his size and his skill set. So they've got Cooper, they've got PJ Washington, you know, they've even got Clay in terms of like, true, like an off-ball guard. He's not a, you know, a dribble creation guy. He can kind of dribble himself into a mid-range shot, which, you know, honestly, they've got plenty of guys on this roster that can do that. So, yeah, I think this will be a good season to reset kind of his expectation and hopefully kind of slot into the role he needs to be in, because last season was just such a mess. Like, he got thrown into the fire. He played extremely well considering the circumstances, but he played a lot. That might have helped him too. Like, you know, I'm sure all those on-ball reps, like, that could be nothing but good for him. But at the same time, hopefully that usage and that minutes total isn't going to repeat itself. Because if it does, that means a lot of things went wrong for this season.
But it is important to note that we sort of entered this player preview exercise by noting that we weren't going to cover the entire roster. We are talking about him, which means we consider him part of the rotation, or at least the fringe rotation. So I think that speaks to the range of outcomes for him. I look forward to seeing a guy that falls somewhere in between the two highs and lows that we saw last year, where it's like all of a sudden he was just DOA. It was real bad after playing really well. So, you know, a middle ground there is fine, and we'll see where we go from there. Next guy is someone we've not seen at all this preseason because he sprained his ankle badly enough to where the Mavericks opted to let him recover from it the entire preseason. That is the recently extended 60-ish million dollar man in Daniel Gafford. I am really looking forward to seeing how on earth they fit minutes in for Gafford, because to me, Derek Lively really, really put his flag in the ground this preseason. Lively was kind of my Mavericks X factor. The more I think about the season, like, if Lively plays closer to 28 to 30 minutes a game, or even 25 minutes a game, but plays 75 games, I think that really does some things to their ceiling. Whereas Gafford, he's a known quantity. He's a good offensive player near the basket. Okay rebounder, a little undersized compared to how big some of the other players are, but he's not quite, like, he's just in that gray area between starter and bench player for me. I don't know how to talk about him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him is he okay coming off the bench? Because last season he started off coming off the bench. Lively started the season, and I don't think he played particularly well for like the first, maybe like month or so. I feel like he didn't really start playing well until Lively got hurt. And I remember they played that game at home against Denver, and I'm looking at it right now, he played 15 minutes and he had 8 points. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 3 rebounds. He got dominated, and it was kind of like after he had played a couple of poor games before that, and the Mavericks numbers with him on the floor were dramatically worse than they were compared to the season he got traded here, 2024. And I remember people getting on to me because they're like, he's okay. Like, why are you singling him out? And then it was funny because he played the Denver game and he singled himself out. Like, the media talked to him and he was like, I am not holding up my end of the bargain. I'm not doing the things I need to be doing. I'm not filling my role. Like, I'm not playing. Like, he flat out said he wasn't playing well. Played Denver again the next night. He had what, like 13? No. It was both games against Denver. He played pretty poorly because the next game he had 13 points in 19 minutes, beat 4 rebounds in 19 minutes. And I think that was a game Denver grabbed like every offensive rebound and they beat the Mavericks by 20. The very next game against New Orleans, he had 27 points, 12 rebounds. And that started a string of really good games for him to close out January. And then, of course, he got hurt toward the start of February, and that kind of derailed his season, like every Maverick. But, you know, Mark Stein said before last season that Gafford considers himself a starter and he would rather start. Gafford in his media day this season said he doesn't care, so he's saying all the right things, but he's got to prove it. Like, he played better last season after Lively got hurt and he was the unquestioned starter. Like, he hasn't played well as a bench player in Dallas for the most part.
do remember, though, he talked about how he came into the season putting on a lot of muscle. And
last season?
Yes. That was a talking point entering the year, that he wanted to play more physical. And what he really looked was sluggish and awful. And it took that many games, I think, for him to either work that weight off, and which is quite regular. Shout out Anthony Davis. But I don't know. I think the like last season feels like a bit of a blip. It's like got to be noted. Yeah, and it's got to be noted that the Mavericks signed him to that extension. We don't know and we don't know if there was a trade in place over the summer, like a framework of one that they were working towards. But he is trade eligible. He's really the only player on the roster right now that is of significance that I think the Mavericks would be willing to move. I mean, there's probably Najee Marshall in that framework. PJ can't be traded. To where I think that if Lively really is to do what I suggested earlier, which is sort of stake his claim to the center position, I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavericks started exploring options. Like, it's their salary next year is just absurd. They're going to have to move people regardless, just due to the way that this, the way that the cap is structured. And so, you know, my expectations for Lively center largely on, can he be a good soldier and can he feast on benches if he's coming off of the bench? And that would be the sales pitch to him if I'm Jason Kidd, where it's like, you're going to get to go against a lesser class of big and you're a potential starter. So have fun. I mean, this is a guy who's capable of putting up, you know, 16, 18 points in quick succession if he's given opportunities near the basket.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's ways, like, I really love Derek Lively, but I think something that became evident last season, like, Gafford is just a better, we'll see this season, but by the end of last season, Gafford was still just a better offensive player. Like, he just found his way into more baskets. He positioned himself better. He was a better finisher. Oh, sorry, I forgot to take my allergy medicine last night, so I need to remember to take it tonight. I've been sniffling all day. I thought you just look at their point. Like, Gafford just finds his way into scoring more baskets. I think that's more, that's just his, he's got a knack for being around the rim and finishing, positioning himself, being aggressive, being assertive, going up with the ball. Mm-hmm. So they need that. And I mean, if they're going to play Anthony Davis at the four for as much as they say they are, then the minutes will still be there.
Right.
They'll still be getting 25 or so minutes off the bench. And then of course, like, you know, someone's going to get hurt. He's going to probably start, you know, he's probably going to start 10 or 15 games. And if not, if Davis gets hurt, then he's probably going to play a little bit more as they split him and Lively. So, I mean, he's still important, you know, he's still important to what they want to do in the identity. But yeah, you're also right in terms of if they want to make an in-season upgrade, he's probably the most expendable, valuable.
He's a good size contract. Like, the contract is simply built for moving, paired with how big the NBA has gotten. There's got to be some kind of market for him. But you never know. I mean, it's a long year. Things could go weird and they could decide to keep him. Broadly speaking, I've enjoyed the Daniel Gafford experience. I will say that it does become kind of evident when they're playing much better teams that he's a little bit overmatched. And that's where I just sort of prefer Lively, or at least the 2024 playoff version of Lively that we got. And that's what I'm hopeful that they get back.
Yeah, Gafford, you know, his flaws are nothing. Like, you know, he can't guard in space. He's better at the rim. You can say that for a lot of bigs. If you get him in the pick and roll and he's not dropping, you can really kind of, well, he will be dropping. That's what he does in the pick and roll. You know, you could really exploit that space, where I feel Lively's a little bit more reactive in the guarding the pick and roll, where, like, the Mavericks prefer their bigs to hang back near the rim. But I think Lively is better and quicker feet at feeling out when to play up closer to the level of the screen and when to hang back, where Gafford, like, you could really manipulate the space well when Gafford's there.
The Mavs have been playing a lot of drop, and that, like, drop on Gafford is a free lunch for the defense.
Yeah, if you've got a guard that can hit jumpers, pull up jumpers, absolutely. But he's still, I mean, he's still like top 10 in rim protection at the rim. So like he's still fantastic at that. So, you know, if they can just keep him near the rim as best they can, you know, he can still do good things.
All right. With that, we should pivot to probably the most, I mean, he is the most important Dallas Maverick player, and that's Anthony Davis. We've talked about Anthony Davis a lot since he signed. We've talked about him over the summer. We're talking about him now. I want to say that I'm just going to be quite candid. I listened to Steve Jones and Nekias Duncan talking about the Mavericks on their Southwest Division preview last week. And Nekias basically said that this season's going to come down to Anthony Davis jumpers. And I've tried really hard to be positive because I think there's a lot of things to be positive about for this team. But if your season comes down to Anthony Davis jumpers, you're making a bad bet. Like, it's a bad bet. He's not a good jump shooter. This is not a debatable point. I am simply baffled by the number of people who think that it is possible because it happened over a 14-game stretch in 2020. It happened over a 20-game stretch last season. He is capable of hitting jump shots. He is not capable of hitting sustained jump shots over an 82-game season, which, oh, by the way, he's not played more than 60 games or 65 games in several years. No, that's not right. He's played
He played over 70 games, I think, his last season, season with the Lakers.
You're just taking a difficult bet. Now, that is not – it is simply not the – me saying that the Mavericks are going to be terrible because of this. It's just, I think that's a crazy thing to hitch your wagon to say this is going to make or break the Mavericks season. I struggle also to figure out how to talk about Anthony Davis, because if they do get him playing more five, if they do go to these smaller lineups, then that alleviates so much of these issues, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I mean, we saw in the preseason, as soon as he played the five, his first minutes in the preseason, they ripped off a 13-0 run. Like, he is best as a center. That's not debatable. I mean, he was best as a center in 2020. Like, people keep trying to bring up 2020. And yeah, he played a lot of power forward with the Lakers when they won the title, but he closed pretty much all of those playoff games as at the five. I think he played 60% of his minutes at the four in the regular season in 2020. And then I want to say and then 40% at the five, and then in the playoffs that literally flipped. He was at 60% minutes at the five and 40% minutes at the four. So like, even in the season everyone points to, he was better as a five. Yep. Now they were still good with him at the four, and that's because he did have career high shooting numbers in the bubble, shooting jumpers. But they were way better still with him at the five compared to him at the four. So that's not a debate to me. Like, I'm tired of debating it because it's kind of conclusive. To me, it's more like he's playing the four because I don't think he can play a 65 plus games if he plays the five every single game. Because he played the five after that 2020 season in LA pretty exclusively, which is kind of funny. Like, he did play the five a lot with the Lakers. Like, most of his seasons, I think he played mostly the five after that 2020 season, and he couldn't stay on the floor. Now, is that a coincidence? Like, would he have still gotten injured if he played at the four? I don't know. But I mean, there is less wear and tear when he's at the four compared to the five, because he's not always at the rim. He's not guarding every layup attempt. Not trying to say he's taking possessions off, so to speak, but there's just less responsibility for him when he's at the four, and less that he has to exert to be productive when he's at the four. So, like, if the coaching staff feels that the best way to keep Anthony Davis on the floor in the regular season is he needs to at least start games at the four, then they need to try it, because they need to keep him on the floor. Like, it doesn't matter however they do it. They just need to. So the big thing just becomes, okay, so this is happening. There's no sense in arguing it. What we got to talk about now is not, should he play the five? Should he play the four? That's not the conversation. It should be, okay, he's playing the four for at least 50 to 60% of his minutes this season. How do they maximize those minutes? Because obviously the five is not hard. Like, they space it out. He's good at the five. What do they do with him at the four? It can't just be, well, he's got to make jumpers. Like, they got to get more creative. They need to utilize the fact that he's a really good passer. They need to run the offense through him. They need to, of course, you know, everyone's talking about dribble handoffs. Like, they need to do that. Right. They need to run offense through him at the elbow. But they need him to be the ball handler in the pick and roll with the center setting the screen. They need him to be the ball handler in the pick and roll with Max Christie or D'Angelo Russell or Cooper Flagg setting the screen. He's a very good inverted pick and roll ball handler. They need to do stuff like that, and not just when he's playing the four, have him stand in the corner, have him post up, have him isolate near the three-point line and take a jumper, which is kind of what they did most of the preseason. They did not run very much interesting sets, I think, in the preseason. And that might be by design, because they're just trying to get through the games and they just want him to get up and down the floor. They're not trying to spoil the playbook, so to speak. But that's what they got to do. Like, I don't want to talk about him at the four versus the five. That's conclusive. It's like, okay, he's going to play the four. So how do you make it good? And I think that's going to be the defining question of the season.
Yeah. And I don't have any answers whatsoever. I mean, I think you're right. And we have to give the coaching staff some benefit of the doubt that this team of professionals knows what they're doing and will attempt to maximize. Because the thing about AD jumpers, this is what drives me crazy when I listen to media outside of Dallas talk about this, because people inside of Dallas are. It's got to be fair there. But you listen to your ESPNs, the Yahoos, anybody else, it's always a question of whether Anthony Davis can shoot. Like, everybody's really nice about it. Like, it's fucking conclusive. I don't know why this doesn't need to be a thing. But that said, it's like, he's top 75 player all time, as he likes to occasionally remind everyone. He's good at basketball. This is not me saying he's not good at basketball. This is more of a question of fit. And I have to give the coaching staff some benefit of the doubt, let's say 20 games worth, to figure it out. And if they can't from there, then it becomes a talking point. If the Mavericks are, like, we've set a lofty standard of the fact that we think the Mavericks need to be 12-8 or 13-7 after 20 games. And if the Mavericks are 10-10, there are going to be questions. And that's fair, because this was the team that Nico Harrison wanted. He got what he wanted. Even if you don't factor in the Cooper Flagg element, this is the team. Even if Kyrie Irving were on this team, these questions would still exist. It's not a Kyrie Irving-less question. It is a Anthony Davis, are you maximizing your abilities and time on the floor? And you're obviously right about the health element of it, but it just, I don't know. I just, that some of it makes me, I'm just like, if everyone's that worried, then maybe don't trade for the guy with the $180 million due to him that's 32 years old. Just me. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say on Davis?
No, I think that's good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
I feel like I've said a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. This is great. Let's take a quick break. I did not do the thing where I actually share the link to, if you would like to support our show directly. That's something that I always try to do. And, you know, as Josh and I have mentioned, this season, everything, it gets a little bit harder to do this. It's we like doing it, but we also have more. We just have more stuff going on, quite candidly. So if you're at all interested in supporting our show, there's a link in the show notes. There's a link in the YouTube comment section, or I'm sorry, in the show description. And that is where you can give to us directly. Josh and I split that money. And we appreciate it. If you would listen to the ads, that's another way you can actually directly support our show, because that is how we get paid through our advertisers. So thank you so much. We will be right back.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20. Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites like their liposomal vitamin C support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay, if you've not subscribed to our show, do so. If you're listening on an audio feed or if you're watching the video, consider subscribing to the show. Josh and I record after every game. I will attempt to do a secondary fan powered show after every game that I can, where we will talk about the Mavericks amongst friends, get your takes off, just sort of commiserate or celebrate if it's a win. It's something we've been doing for years. The move to YouTube was a little different, but we've had fun with it. And it has been a great way to build community within our little organic sphere. So smash that YouTube button, subscribe button, as the kids say. Okay, we're back with our last two Mavericks, and they might seem a little random, but that's just because that's the list that I shouted out to Josh. What do we make about Najee Marshall this year?
I love Najee Marshall. I mean, I was very excited when the Mavericks signed him last season. I thought he played great. He had a career season. He's going to be very interesting on this team because he feels like one of the few downhill players on the roster in terms of perimeter player, like someone that can penetrate the paint and force a rotation with a live dribble. Because you think about, you know, if they start, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson, even if they don't start them, like those are perimeter based guys that would rather shoot jumpers. Max Christie kind of prefers to shoot threes or get, you know, mid-range jumpers. Brandon Williams is probably the only other guard that's going to, you know, be in the rotation that could use a live dribble to break down a defense. And so him and Najee are going to be super important. And the thing with Najee is he needs to be able to hit some threes because the spacing is going to be cramped for him. So I think it's going to be kind of a tale of how do they use him. Because I think if he's on the floor when Davis is playing the four, that's going to be awfully hard for him to get off his game. You know, he likes to get into the paint, shoot his floaters, get near the rim. I think you saw in that preseason game against the Jazz, I believe he was on the floor when Davis was at the five, and they were really cooking. And I think he's going to be awesome with Davis at the five, and I think he's going to potentially struggle with Davis at the four. Mm-hmm. And I think the Mavericks have to find some balance there with his how they utilize him and his minutes. But I love him. I mean, he's going to be very important to how good they are this season.
Yeah, he shot a pretty brutal 28% from three last season. He's got to get that closer to like 33%. Yes. You know, he was taking close to three threes a game. So you're probably looking at me going, you know, who cares if it's the difference between 28 and 33% when you're only shooting three a game. I think he's going to get a fair number of corner looks. Those are closer shots. Yep. Just got to have a little hope there. He's an excellent secondary ball handler. I had a number of people reaching out to me today asking, hey, why isn't he in the starting lineup and handling the ball some more? We tried that against the Memphis Grizzlies in the play-in, and it went terribly. That's not to say that all those regular season games towards the end of last year were meaningless, but I do think it is just not safe or really fair to put that on Najee Marshall's plate at this point. He is not a point guard. He is a small forward that can dribble and pass. Maybe we'll be saying the same thing about Cooper Flagg in a couple of weeks, but for right now, that's sort of a different story. That said, the Najee Marshall mid-range game is among the just basketball sickos favorite because it is such a good mid-range game. He's a fun player. I enjoy watching him. I enjoy following him on Twitter too as he tweets bizarre things. he was kind of the canary in the coal mine of weird shit with the Mavericks last year when he got super sick off of COVID from Jimmy Butler in Miami.
Yes.
COVID, it was the norovirus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He recovered. Sorry, reading something in the chat. Velveteen Vision asked if we've talked about Clay. We did it a couple shows ago, probably between the second and third preseason games and then the preseason. This stuff sort of snuck up on us, as in Josh and I weren't paying attention to the calendar. And that's why we're doing all this stuff a little bit late than we wanted to. Najee's, it's so funny. It's like we go through all these players and I'm sitting here going, oh, I like that guy. And that's such, that's what's such a bitch about this team. It's like, we like these guys. It's not a question of whether we think they're bad. It's a question of whether we think they fit.
Right.
And I think that brings us then to the last player we've been sitting on to where you've probably, if you're listening to this podcast, this is really the main guy that you care about. Rookie Cooper Flagg. My expectations for Cooper Flagg, number one overall draft pick, they're high. He will be the first number one draft pick. He's leading the Mavericks or co-leading the Mavericks to the playoffs is got to be the goal with him. It's a lofty expectation for something that's not been done since what was the Jason Tatum draft? Who did Philly draft with that pick that year?
Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz was the last time a number one overall draft pick was part of a team that made the playoffs.
And he didn't. He was not the real
reason. Not part of the team.
Yeah.
It's been a while, guys, is the point. There's just it's difficult to do this, and the Mavericks are in a pretty good position. But really, for as good as Anthony Davis can or can't be, Flag as the floor raiser and ceiling raiser, is how good is he? How immediate is it? It's just it's a lot to put on a kid because he is a kid. He's 18.
Yep.
It's unfair, but I also think the hype in this circumstance is warranted. So what do you think about the guy?
I mean, he's the reason to watch this season for a lot of people. I'm just excited to see how much more he improves because he just seems to be a maniacal worker. We've talked about how like watch video of him shooting in high school and watch video of him shooting now. And it's almost kind of incomprehensible how much better he's gotten, going from like a 15 year old to an 18, 19 year old. So it's like, okay, if he could do that, what does that look like now that he is legitimately full-time committed to basketball? He's not in school. Like this is his job with other professional coaches and stuff like that. So I'm just excited to see how he keeps growing. I'm excited to see his athleticism. I'm excited to see him as a competitor, and I'm excited to see how the Mavericks use him. I think if people look at this season as kind of more a testing ground instead of this team needs to be a contender. And I know that the Mavericks themselves have put that expectation on them because that's what you do when you trade Luka is you know, they flat out said, this is going to get us closer to winning a championship sooner. But with Cooper, I think that resets things a little bit. And I don't think the goal now is to win a championship. The goal is let's see how good Cooper Flagg is and let's see how good the Mavericks can help make him be. Of course, the veterans on the roster are going to want to win, and I'm sure Cooper wants to win. But, like, I think you got to take a macro view of the org now, as weird as that is after everything that happened in the last 8 to 10 months. And they got to slow play it a little bit. Obviously, they're going to try to win as many games as they can. But I'm just excited to see, like that Luka rookie. I'm not trying to bring up Luka, but, like, it's the last time we had this. That we were able to cover this, like it's fun to watch the high rise. Profile rookie. Yeah. The rise, like, and that, like the fact that they get to do it again, 7 years later is kind of inexplicable, but that's where they are. And that part of it's fun.
A lot of thoughts. The first is that I've heard on some just occasional, you know, NBA shows, it's like it doesn't feel like the NBA is pushing him enough. I don't know if that's entirely true, but I also think that's because the NBA doesn't know entirely what he is yet. And I think I said this on another show, but it's worth repeating. If you were to ask me what I thought Cooper Flagg's ceiling was, I saw this one tweet go viral from a guy named Ty, who's like, you know, it's more likely that Cooper Flagg is, you know, a Scottie Pippen to a Michael Jordan, like a multi-tool player that can do a little bit of everything amazingly, but not anything beyond, like not anything at a true like S-tier superstar level. That take actually makes a lot of sense to me, but I also think it's patently insane to put a cap on a guy who we don't know how good he can be. And what's frustrating about the lack of guards on this team is like, I really don't think we're going to be able to answer that question definitively. And I maybe wouldn't even if there were guards on this team, but we're just not going to see him put in positions, certain positions at all with the way this roster is structured. Like he's going to have to do some things. You know, we think he's going to be the opening night point guard. You know, kid who's like, well, he's really playing a more point forward role. And it's like, it's the same fucking thing. What are we doing? You know, while I'm on that subject, though, I also think that by putting Cooper Flagg in this position, it is a shot across the bow of the general manager in Nico Harrison, who has said that this is a, you know, championship level roster, blah, blah, blah. You don't give a rookie the brains if that's the case. You just don't. And I think Kidd is putting Cooper's development first ahead of team goals and hoping that the team goals come along for the ride. And I think it's a pretty good bet. I think it's going to be really ugly, at times. And that's fine. Growth is not linear, nor is it always pretty. And, you know, they're going to have multiple guys initiating the offense. There's going to have multiple guys finishing. There's going to be times when we come in here and, you know, they're going to have lost a game like that Detroit game's one that I have circled in the first six, where I think we might come in here after that Detroit game really pissed that the Mavericks let one get away from them against a Detroit team that is talented but still flawed. And growing pains are just part of the process. And so watching him is going to be a really special experience, but it's also going to be wildly different from the Luka experience. Like so, so different. Where Luka was an exclamation point on certain things, but he also, even as a rookie, was doing the things which were part of why people were so frustrated with him in year six. I just don't think we're going to have similar complaints. We're going to have different complaints, maybe, but yeah. Shooting, maybe on the offensive skill, maybe on the passing. But right now, I just see nothing but green flags with Cooper. Other than Victor Wembanyama, he is the most generational superstar to come in the league in a long time. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I know his floor is really high, and that's something that I'm just really excited about.
Yeah, me too. Just excited to see him be insane, like just in terms of being like a maniacal competitor. Like that's going to be fun. It's going to be different. And
he's going to start some disputes is what I'm going to say. His level of effort is going to piss off NBA vets.
Yes, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. And I'm, you know, say what you about Jason Kidd, but you know, I know people have talked about it, but like the way he developed Giannis, I think there's some similarities there between the two players, both being kind of very athletic, very talented players. Can he mold their games a little bit and add a little bit to their game that they probably weren't necessarily expecting right away? So the on-ball reps are going to be good. The point guard reps are going to be good, only good for him. They might not win those minutes as much as they would win the minutes with him maybe at the four or at the three. But they're going to be helpful for him down the road. And yeah, I'm excited. It's just another like new thing, which I'm excited to see like new things after last season. So yeah.
It's so funny. We've talked about this, but we just don't talk about the guy's defense almost at all. And that's
his thing.
Yeah. That's his thing. Like it's just that if the Mavericks, you know, we'll talk about this more tomorrow night, But if the Mavericks figure out some of their defensive, like their defense is sloppy right now, but defense is never a finished product. And if they figure out elements of what they want to be doing on defense, because right now it's just all over the map. Some of the things they were doing are really bad in the preseason. It's fine. It's preseason. If Cooper Flagg is allowed to be like a disruptor, like an off-ball disruptor, the stuff that Dorian Finney-Smith we used to like when he wasn't put in point of attack, like we're just going to see a guy that gets like, you know, he's going to get like three stocks a game. So combination steals and blocks. Like he's just going to be everywhere. And that's really fun. Really fun.
Yes.
Okay. 40 minutes. Josh and I are going to try to record tomorrow night, Tuesday night before, you know, during the middle of the opening night for a couple of teams, but we have some broader, bigger picture things we want to discuss. All these things wrapping back together. We're going to be coming to you early and often, going to be filling your feed. We appreciate that you have choice when it comes to the Mavericks podcast ecosphere. There's a lot of them out there. I happen to be partial to ours, and I appreciate the fact that you are willing to spend time with us. If you leave comments, leave reviews, good or bad, doesn't matter. We like them. And we will be back probably tomorrow night. So thanks so much for hanging out with us, and go Mavs.